was, as I was getting ready in the morning, Sarah and I came across a good idea. When I was very young, I used to go to the Catholic Church, you know, and the priest was always praying Mass in Latin. What about if I speak to you in Spanish? And then you will be saying, amen, amen, and everybody will be believing that they are understanding what I say. Well, you know that we are going to speak about this wonderful passage in Luke, and it's wonderful to see how the Lord is manifesting his power and his power over nature, over the death, over the disease, even over the demon-possessed people. But we are going to start talking about this in the chunk of the scripture that starts in verse 40. I'm going to read it, and then I will be praying because, you know, I've got a great barrier, you know. The language barrier is going to keep me from speaking fluently the way you are used to, and I will be trying to do my best, you know. I hope you forgive any mispronunciation, but, you know, English is not my language. Anyway, we are going to read verse 40, that is in chapter 8, and the Bible reads like this. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him. Let's skip on to verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear. Only believe, and she will be well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and the mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we are so thankful to you because you have given us this opportunity to share your word. You know all my barriers. You know that I'm so humble that I can't even speak. That's why I am not so sure if I can do it, but the Holy Spirit you have given me, because you saved me, as everyone here is being saved, has been enabled me to be able to speak your truth and to try to edify your church. In the name of the Lord, I beg you, like that man was begging you to enter his house and save his daughter, I'm begging you to put words in my tongue so that I can be a tool for you. In the name of the Lord, thank you. Amen. So, this is a beautiful passage. It starts, well, I'm going to start at this point when this man Jairus was waiting for the Lord. But not only him, there were a group of people waiting for him. It was the multitude, the crowd, you know. There was a woman, there was this man. The fact is that this man had a big issue. What was his issue? Oh, have you ever seen a very strong and stern man weeping and crying when a child is sick? No matter how strong you are, when your kids are in trouble, you are broken down. And this man, I don't know if he was wealthy or if he was knowing any physicians, but he didn't have the idea of going to the best physician in town and begging him to come over to his house and cure or heal his child. He had a better idea. He was waiting for the Lord on the bank of the lake. He was waiting there for how long? We don't know. How long did the Lord take on the other side of the lake? We don't know. but he was so patient. I've been reading lots of commentaries, and they say that this man was very impatient, but I don't think he was, because he was quiet there, waiting for the Lord. The crowd was there too. He didn't even know that there was a woman who had an issue, but he was waiting for the Lord. Finally, the Lord came back. Everybody welcomed him because they were expecting him. They knew he is the one who healed the sick. Probably this man knew that he had healed many people who were having some sickness. And he knew that his daughter was at the point of death. But he was not expecting her to die. When he saw the Lord, even though he was the principal of the synagogue, you know, the ruler of the synagogue, he didn't take that into account. And you know how people were against the Lord whenever he came to the synagogues and he started reading the scriptures. And by the time he was saying, these scriptures have been fulfilled in front of you, and the reputation of the Lord was not so good, let alone on the presence of the principal of the synagogue. But this man didn't take that into account, and he was waiting for him, and he fell at his feet and was telling him what his issue was. He told, Lord, I have a daughter. Would you do the same? I have an only child, and she's only 12 years of age. Would you come to my place? That reminds me of the time the Roman centurion came trying to save his servant. But that one, as the scripture says, that one seems to have a little more faith, because he did want the Lord to come to his place, and he said, only say the word and my servant will be healed. But in this case, this man seems to have a little less faith. And he wanted the Lord to come to his place. Would you want the Lord to come to your place? Yeah. The Lord? Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good prompt. I was off focus. Would you like the Lord to come to your house? I wish he could come to my place all the time. He asked the Lord to come over. And the Lord, no matter how many people were waiting for him, he started walking. And as they were walking to his house, just picture yourself in that situation. You know that your daughter is sick at home. I don't know how far it is. And the Lord starts walking with you, and all of a sudden, there comes that lady. Why have you come over here now? Don't you see that I'm on my way to save my daughter, the only one I have? No matter if you have 10, all of them are very precious to us, because I have 6, and sometimes I say, which is the one I prefer? All of them. Everyone is different. I love this one because he has a type of character, and I love the other one because he loves me less, and the less he loves me, the more I have to love him. But anyway, this man is on his way to his house, and this lady comes to the way, and she tries to get healed. But she didn't want to talk to the Lord. Probably because she had read Leviticus 15:25, where you know that any woman who was having a discharge of blood was unclean, and she was not supposed to come into contact with anyone. And she was trying to come from behind and touch the fringe of his garment. And the Lord stopped and asked, who has touched me? Just picture yourself being the father of that girl, and the Lord being interrupting when he was going your way to your house. This lady might have been a nuisance for him, But this lady had her own issue. Jairus, as the principal of the synagogue, should have known better that anyone who touched a person who was unclean was not fit or was fit to do something, and he was unclean as well. But he didn't take that into account so that it stopped him from going to his house. This woman, I don't know her name, she touched him, and at once she was healed. I remember once when I was a little more overweight, and my cardiologist told me, "Hey, Guillermo, your heart is terrible. Your left ventricle is thicker than it's supposed to be." You know, the left ventricle, it's usually thicker because it's the part that pumps blood into the whole body, while the right ventricle, it's only pumping blood into the lungs and it makes less effort anyway, but my left ventricle was thicker. And he said, "Oh, your heart is terrible. No matter what you do, take your pills, okay, and you will die with that condition." I said, "Okay, that is very good. I've gotta die from something." But that was in the back of my mind. And I went home and I said, the following Sunday I was preaching about this, and I heard what this woman did. And I saw that she only touched the fringe of his garment and she was healed. And I said, why if I do the same? Why instead of doing like the rest of the people, because all of them were pressing in on the Lord, but she was not pressing in. She was pressing her way through, and he could touch him. There are a variety of people coming to churches. Most of us, or most of the people, come and press in on the Lord, but they are the crowd. Just few come and touch him. I want to touch the Lord. And I said, hey, why if I put this into practice? And I started, it was not a mantra, but I started repeating, oh Lord, I want to touch the fringe of your garment. I don't want to be the crowd. I want to be next to you. I want to be able to touch you. And I was saying that, and I was walking. I was saying that, and I was walking. Walking and running and saying, I'm touching the fringe of your garment. A year later, I went to the hospital, and the doctor said, what are you doing here? I told you your condition was the same. Just take your pills and forget it. But I was trying him to take me to an MRI. And then when he saw my heart, he said, get out of here. What have you done? That is a new heart. And I was in shock. And all I did was, Lord, I want to touch the fringe of your garment. This lady did it, and the discharge of blood was stopped, and my heart got better. Blame it to the walking and running, but I believe it was the Lord. Everything is possible to whom who believes. Now, the Lord said, someone has touched me. In the case of the woman. Of course, Peter, you know Peter, he is always giving the Lord instruction. Perhaps Peter thought that he could instruct the Lord because he knew better. Oh, Lord, everybody's pressing on you, and how come you're gonna ask who has touched me? But the Lord was trying that woman to confess, to come clean, to tell everybody what has happened to her. Have you imagined 12 years bleeding, that woman unclean for 12 years? How sad her life must have been. How many times you are sick or perhaps rejected by people for any condition or for whatever you do. Sorry. But the Lord wanted her to declare why she was touching him, and the Lord had understood that power had came from him. So the woman said everything what had happened, and she declared that immediately when she touched him, she was cleansed. And there is a word, a very beautiful word, that it is only said here. The Lord said, daughter. He called her daughter. Do you remember that Jairus had come asking the Lord to heal his daughter? That daughter had a father. But who did this woman have? We don't know, but our Lord is so good. He's so holy. He called her daughter. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. What a beautiful word. The Lord calling her daughter. That makes our Lord so concerned about our issues. Now, this woman probably wanted to be healed secretly, and the Lord make her come in the open, and she was confessing. So they come back to the other story. Finally, that's the word that Jairus might have said. Finally, we can go on to my issue. And then while he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter is dead. If you were Jairus, what ideas could have come to your head? Look how long I have been waiting for the Lord. And now this woman has interrupted our way. What did he say? Nothing. And the man said, do not trouble the teacher. How many people ask you not to trouble the teacher? The faith is proven when we are in trouble. The more trouble you face, the more faith you should have. I think of my country that many people come to church. The more difficult things are, the more people come to church, because it's like when someone is at the hospital at the point of death and the doctor says there is nothing else we can do, and people just remember, oh, there is another way out, the Lord. And unluckily, that's not the right word, but unluckily, people leave the Lord as the last resort. But we should put him first, and our lives will be better. So, when this man, because I don't hear that he said anything, when he was receiving that news, maybe he was devastated, but the Lord said, do not fear, do not fear. What is that? I was in fear when she was sick, but what am I going to fear now that she is dead? But the Lord said, do not fear, only believe. What am I going to believe? She's already dead. But this man doesn't say a word. But the most important thing is that the Lord said, she will be well. I understand that when we close our eyes on this earth, we can open them for heaven. And when everything finishes here on earth, we awaken to be in his likeness. And maybe this man was not in fear. And one thing I know, he kept on going. When they came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter, John, James, you know, the mother of the kid and the father, and Jesus himself. Who was at the house? The mourners, the flute players, the neighbors, everybody was, the crowd, the mob, everybody was crying, wailing, shouting. Most of them were hitting their breasts as a sign of grief. They were singing a dirge, and the Lord is arriving, and he said, "The child is sleeping." Everybody was laughing at him. Would you laugh at the Lord when he says he is sleeping? Just imagine how noisy that place was. The people are right here, shouting, weeping. Probably her mother, who hadn't been waiting for the Lord, was wailing bitterly, and the child was right there, maybe a wall in between. The girl was not listening to any of those cries. She was deaf to all that. And then the Lord comes and says, "She's sleeping." And everybody was laughing at him. When he got into the room, with only one touch, and with a couple of words, "Talitha kumi," he touched that girl, and she got back to life. How is it possible? Not the wailing of her mother, not the shouts of the neighbors, not the flute players, not the dirge could wake her up. And a word of our Lord, actually two words of our Lord, and a touch of his hand could heal her. Minutes before, or some time before, the hand of a woman touching his garment got her healed, and now the hand of our Lord touching a daughter get her healed, not healed, but got her back to life. The word was simple: child, arise. Why didn't the Lord want anybody to come to that place? Because they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. They knew that she was dead, but death for the Lord is when Lazarus passed away and he said, "Let's go and wake our friend." And his sisters were complaining about how late the Lord was to come and rescue him. When we see this passage, we see that our Lord is the Lord of the disease and the death. And when we see that, we believe that when he said, do not weep, she is not dead but sleeping, he has control on life, on death. He's the Lord of everything. But when we read this, there are two words that connect these passages with the previous one. When we had read verse 40, it reads, "Now when Jesus returned," where was the Lord returning from? He was returning from the other side of the lake where he had encountered a demon-possessed man. And there was something interesting in that moment. This demon-possessed knew who Jesus was because he called him by name. He said, "Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. He knew him. But a little before, when he was going across the lake and the windstorm was coming down on them, the appointed ones, the chosen ones, the disciples didn't know who Jesus was. When he quieted down the wind and the waves were quiet, they said, "Who is this that even the wind listens and obey?" Have you ever pondered on the fact that even the nature obeys the Lord? And sometimes when we are facing a tribulation or an adversity, we are losing our faith, And the Lord has to be reminding us, where is your faith? Those people didn't know who his Lord was, but the wind was obedient to them. So that wind who obeys the Lord sometimes is better than us, the Christians, when we don't know who our Lord is. Or like the demon possessed, when the demons were understanding that the Lord had power to take him out of the man. What kind of life did that man have? That man was living in the tombs, among the tombs. He has no clothes. He was shouting. He was hurting himself. He was rolling down on the dirt. His life was miserable. But this man, when seeing the Lord, was asking him, "Have you come to torment me?" Sometimes we believe that the Lord has come to torment us. No, he came to give life and life in abundance. He didn't come to torment us. I remember when I was trying my mom to come to church. She was always saying to me, "I don't like to go to church because a couple of hours sitting down there, it's too boring and I get tired. You know, I can't be sitting down for 2 hours." And I said, "Mom, what do you do for a living?" "Well, I'm a seamstress, you know that." "And how many hours do you sit at a sewing machine?" 10, 12 hours sewing at it. 10 hours at a sewing machine, and then you bring that foolish excuse not to go to church? She said, "Oh, I'm caught. I've got to go there." She started coming, and she thought that the Lord and his word was going to torment her. She said, "I can't hear so much words and so many words. I can't go sit down there and pay attention to that because that torments me." And when she started coming to church, she said, "Oh, I get comfort in his word." This man, this lunatic, in his frenzy thought that the Lord had come to torment him. On the contrary, the Lord came to save him. You know all the story that the demons were talking to the Lord and asked him to cast them out into the swine, and all the story that the swine got the demons, and they went down the steep bank of the lake, and they drowned. I don't think the demons wanted to lose a home, because a demon is a spirit, and they need a body to live in, to abide in somebody. So when they were cast, and the man was clean and cleansed, and they were living in the pigs, what do you think they did after that swine drowned in the lake? Probably they went and started dwelling in the bodies of those Gadarenes who were living in the region. Because one thing is certain, when the Gadarenes of that region heard that the man had been cleansed, but they saw what had happened to their pigs, they came looking for the Lord and saw the man sitting down there in his right mind. But they had one problem. What was it? "We don't have the swine." When you and I sometimes lose something, we might probably lose faith. Many people have lost a dear one or a dear thing. And because you are witness of how many people say, "Well, if the Lord is so good, why is there a war in Ukraine? If the Lord is so good, why children die?" Yes.
Because everybody has their own free will, and God gives us the right to choose. And when we deal with it,
amen. When someone loses a dear one, like those Gadarenes, they were fixed on what they have lost, but they didn't realize that with the swine, they had lost the opportunity to be saved. by the Lord who had come over the other side of the lake to save them. Only one person. This person was begging the Lord to let him come with him. But he said, go to your family and talk to them and tell them what great things the Lord has done to you. That is a good mission for a person who had been troubling his family. Can you imagine how many trouble he had gotten into that his family was ashamed of? And he was supposed to go back to preach to the ones who had loved him. So here we see that when the Lord returned, that's when Jairus was expecting him. And that's the connection of all these miracles. The Lord quieting down the wind, first the cause and then the rest. If he can quiet down the wind, the waves can be quiet. Then he's driving out the demons from this demon-possessed. And there are many lessons here, because the demon-possessed was thinking that the Lord was going to torment him. On the contrary, he came to save him. And when he was in his right mind, everybody was afraid. Isn't that funny? Are you going to be afraid of this man who is in his right mind? Weren't you afraid of him when he was a lunatic, when he was behaving like that and breaking the shackles and the bonds he had in his hands? Now, when Jesus returned and talked to this man that had fallen at his feet, imploring him to come to his house, we have a complete circle of all the miracles. He is the Lord of the nature. He is the Lord of the demons. He is the Lord of the disease. He is the Lord of the death. But what lessons can we apply in our lives? If we think of this man, Jairus was patient. He was waiting on the Lord. Will you wait on the Lord no matter what? No matter when someone from his house came with the news that his daughter had passed away, he kept on walking with the Lord. Would you keep on walking with the Lord? No matter when someone comes to you and says, hey, don't trouble the Lord any longer. I'm exhorting you, and I am exhorting myself to keep on walking with the Lord no matter what. I know that when precious things have been taken away from us, we say, Lord, why? He always has something better for us. This woman, when her discharge of blood was healed, was declaring in front of everybody what the Lord had done for her. Could you do the same? There are many people trying to listen to what the Lord has done for you so that they can come and let the Lord do the same for them. We have these four things where the Lord is Lord over. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, but will he be the King of my heart? He is the Lord of the nature, but will he be the Lord of my life? He is the Lord of the disease, but will I let him be the Lord of my existence? That is the Lord we have come to serve. That is the Lord that we talk about. That's the Lord in whom we believe. You know that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And when we understand that we are lost, we have him and we find him. That man was so happy because he had lost his name. Sometimes as Christians, we have lost our path. We have lost our names. This man, Legion, that was his nickname. Probably his name was John, Peter, Charles. I don't know who he was. But the important thing is that people sometimes know you by the things you do, not by your name. If you're a carpenter, people can call you carpenter. But this man was Legion. Why was he Legion? How many demons in his life? What do people know you by? What's the name people call you? Would you like to be called Legion? And funny though, when the demon-possessed man saw Jesus, he knew Jesus' name. But when Jesus saw him, the Lord asked him, "What's your name?" Don't you think the Lord knew his name? But he wanted him to ponder on how, at what moment he had lost his name, and when have we lost our names? If I lose my name, I'd like to be called Christian. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Lord, how good you are. I don't know why you chose me, because I'm not even capable of speaking your word. But like that woman who wanted to touch you, I want to touch you today. I want to be near you all the time. I want you to change my name and call me by the name you have chosen for me and for us. Lord, when we are in danger, I don't want to lose my faith and waver as those you had appointed as your chosen ones, the 12, and they didn't even know who you were. Lord, when we are facing tribulations as we are now, I want you to remind me day after day that you came to save the lost, that you have come to give life to those who are perishing, that you have come to give salvation to those who trust in you, those who believe in you. Lord, we are asking you to look after your church, either here or in Canada or in Cuba. We want you to be getting us together and to get us united as one, as you and your Father and the Holy Spirit are one. We want to be one in spirit, so that all the blessings that are coming down from heaven unto us be with us all the time. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Amen.